the field of generational marketing has been around for more than 30 years, and the need to break a population down by various segments grew out of the sort of the disappearance of the mass market. For years, marketing professors have always characterized the mass market as Henry Ford and his Model Ts. You could get any color you wanted as long as it was black. You produce one product for the market. Well, breaking the market down into segments is a useful way of getting more response out of the market. The first and most obvious kind of breakout is age. People of different ages consume different types of products in differing amounts. Attention to age is not new. Kodak, back in the 1890s, when first marketing their cameras, consciously targeted the young consumer as those who would be most likely to purchase this new technological innovation. In addition to age, a population is often divided by sex, by race and ethnicity, by income, education, and so adding to that array of demographic characteristics by which we can segment a population are generations. And of course, generations kind of combine elements of all of these. One of the pioneers in generational marketing is the Yankelovich organization, and a report that they began publishing in 1971 called the Yankelovich Monitor. They consciously went out to interview people of various ages, representing different generations, regarding a wide array of attitudes towards the spirit of cooperation, what it meant to be successful in American society, as well as their attitudes towards specific types of goods and services and products. The real rise or impetus to generational marketing occurred when the Yankelovich organization received a call in 1968. The president of Playtex, a well-respected American business, found that the sales of their girdles were sagging, pun intended, that the consumers were rejecting their product. They could not understand why it was. The product was still made the same way that it had been. It was a high-quality product. The pricing was very competitive. They distributed it in all the right channels, and they were advertising and promoting. Try as they might, sales continued to fall. They turned to Yankelovich for help. What Yankelovich found through interviews and focus groups and what have you was that there was a revolution underway in terms of women's intimate apparel, that the women coming of age, the baby boomers, were rejecting girdles. They were not accepting what had been as defined apparel by previous generations, and instead wanted nothing as confining and stodgy to them as the girdle. Well, this revolution, while at first might appear to be unique to that generation, spread up the age group, and women of older age categories and consumers also got the courage to reject this garment. At about the same time that Playtex found that sales of a staple product of theirs were falling, a new business emerged on the landscape, Gap. They started out as a clothing store in San Francisco and in the late 1960s, and the purpose of the store was to retail jeans, blue jeans, the uniform of a new generation, the baby boomers who were coming of age in the 1960s. This generation of consumers were demanding clothing that would distinguish them from their parents. And what better to choose than the blue jean? Charles Reich, in his classic, The Greening of America, talking very glowingly about the revolution that was taking place in America, refers to the jeans as a profoundly democratic clothing item that there are no distinctions of wealth or status, no elitism. People confront one another shorn of these distinctions. Well, from those lofty origins came Gap clothing, a statement of rebellion that has grown into the largest clothing retail enterprise in the world. So in terms of generational marketing, not only the product, as we saw with the demise of girdles, the rise of blue jeans, but how to promote your product. You may have the right product, but how do you reach out to that generation? One example of this is a direct marketing campaign that was undertaken by an agency specializing in generational marketing. They wanted to communicate a new product to an older generation, members of the GI generation. And so in their advertising, they use a picture of General Douglas MacArthur, an icon of that generation. In another promotional piece targeted to people of the Cold War generation, they featured a picture of Dwight Eisenhower, and they had the tagline, "I like Ike. If you remember this phrase, we've got something you're gonna love." So making that connection to a generation is an important part of a strategy. Well, did the strategy work? The company had been getting a 1.7% response rate to their direct mail solicitations. After incorporating this generational strategy into their marketing campaign, their response rates jumped to 10%, a greater than fivefold increase. I would say that's a successful application of a generational strategy. Come alive, you're in the Pepsi generation. That tagline in advertising was introduced by Pepsi-Cola in 1963. Prior to 1963, Pepsi had always marketed itself as a value, the low-cost alternative to Coca-Cola. They rejected identification with youth and rock and roll, and instead identified with householders who were looking for value to save money when purchasing soft drinks. Well, in the soft drink industry, that's not the secret to success. And so in 1963, a new strategy came about where Pepsi marketed to a younger generation, a new generation, to say Coca-Cola, heavily implied was Coca-Cola was your parents' drink. This is your drink, a new generation. And ever since then, Pepsi has identified itself with rock and roll and the new generation. Now, that new generation gets reinvented every so often, from the early periods right through more recent videos with Britney Spears. The other dilemma that companies face is how to appeal to one generation while not turning away loyal consumers from another generation. In other words, how can they bring about a multi-generational appeal? Gap, once again, provides an example for us. While they started out as a narrow, marketing to a narrow niche, those teenagers and young adults, as they grew, they needed a broad market to continue their successful growth and sales. And so they're faced with the dilemma of how do we appeal to our older consumers as well as not becoming identified as stodgy and old-fashioned. They launched an advertising campaign where two country singers, Willie Nelson and Ryan Adams, are featured singing a Hank Williams tune, "Move It On Over," with the idea that, hey, Willie may be old, but he's still cool. And older people, baby boomers in particular, would look at Willie and identify him, whereas we might not understand who that young fella singing with him is, that the younger generation would see Ryan Adams and say, okay, it's still cool and hip. As the CEO of Gap declared about this ad campaign, he said, "This campaign reflects the connection that people of all ages have with Gap. Whether you're 6, 16, or 60, nothing is more universal than a pair of Gap jeans." Since 1970 and the advent of generational marketing, various companies have embraced the notion of segmenting their market, either a narrow niche or trying to broadly identify many generations, and have taken the use of generational information, icons, to better reach their markets.